Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? It's even more morning than what we're used to, but it's a good day. One announcement that Pastor Brad forgot to say is that our next men's hike is scheduled for the next rain, and so you can look forward to that. We're not sure when that's going to be, but we're pretty sure it's going to rain again. Therefore, we're pretty sure we're going to have another men's hike. So we want to welcome you this morning. What a great time of worshiping God, our Creator. And we're going to begin a new series of messages this morning in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11 that we are entitling Beginnings. And so if you have your Bible, open them up to the very first sentence of the most sold book and the most read book in all of human history. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And this is what the Word of God says. This is how the book of Genesis is introduced and how all of the Bible is introduced. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the Hebrew name for Genesis gets its name from the very first word of Genesis that is translated here, in the beginning. In Latin, we have the word for origin that is used to describe or to title the name of the book of Genesis. Now, the question of origins is crucial. We cannot understand origins apart from Genesis. We cannot understand who God is, who we are, and why we are, and what our destiny is apart from the book of Genesis. And so the universe, history, life, death, everything starts in the book of beginnings, and it is culminated in the book of Revelation, which is the book of conclusions. Now, it's important to recognize that the story of our life began long before we were ever born. Our story and every other story begins with God. And so the book of Genesis and the stories of Genesis and all of the Bible is fundamentally about God. Genesis is telling us, this verse is telling us who God is. And the first thing that we see is that God is the creator of the universe. Now, the question of existence is perhaps the greatest question of all. Everyone has to answer the question, why is there something rather than nothing? And there is an enormous distance between nothing and something. Now, this question of why is there something rather than nothing is answered in different ways. One way is atheists like Richard Dawkins have answered that question by saying that the universe spontaneously created itself. And so they believe something called spontaneous creation. And so the universe does not have a creator, because the universe, in a sense, is its own creator. The universe created itself. And so this belief about origins is that no one plus nothing equals everything and everyone. But the Bible answers the question of why there is something rather than nothing by declaring that God is the creator of the universe. That the universe did not come from nothing, the universe came from God. Now, apart from God and creation, there is no meaning to life. God is the foundational belief for understanding the world in a way that truly makes sense. Origins, meaning, morality, final destiny, all of those flow out of our understanding and the reality of who God is. And what we see in Genesis is that everyone and everything has value and meaning because God created it. The things within your life itself is not a cosmic accident of the universe that spontaneously created itself and through random chance you came into being. You are a product of the creation of God, who is the creator, and the universe exists because he spoke it into existence and he willed for it to be so. And so because of that, everything has meaning. Everything has value because God created it. We see that God is the creator of the universe, but we also see that God is eternal. It says, in the beginning. In other words, history has a beginning. That space and time has a beginning point. Now, the belief of scientists for a long time is that the material universe was eternal, that has always been. But it wasn't that long ago, with the invention of modern telescopes and the use of them, that scientists discovered that the universe is rapidly expanding. It's getting bigger. What that means is that if you go back in time, then the universe was smaller. And if you go back in time enough, you find that the universe has a beginning point. And so now we know that the universe had a beginning. But the issue is that we've known that for over 2,000 years, because the Bible says that in the beginning, there was a beginning point to creation, to time, to space, to matter, to energy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when it says that God created the cosmos, what it means is that God created what is called ex nihilo. That is simply means that God created out of nothing. So God did not use pre-existent matter or energy to create the universe. He called it into existence. That which did not exist began to exist because God created it. Now, you and I can make things. And part of being created in the image of God is that we are creative. And so we can take things and we can rearrange them and we can reorder them to serve certain purposes and to accomplish certain tasks. And so man can make things, but man cannot create things. Only God is able to create something out of nothing. And so we see that matter is not eternal. In the beginning, God called into existence all and everything that is. But juxtaposed to that, while matter and the universe are not eternal, we do see that God is eternal in this passage and in the rest of the Bible. That God exists outside of space and time, that he existed before space and time, and that he created space and time. He is not limited spatially as you and I are. That's why the Bible talks about his omnipresence, that he is everywhere all at once. He is not limited by the space which he himself created. Neither is he limited by time, because he exists outside of space and time. And what that means is that God is not affected by time. God is no different now than he was the day in which he created the universe. That God does not grow and develop as you and I do. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while he exists outside of time, he is fully aware of the succession of time, and he is fully aware of all points in time simultaneously. And people have referred to this, that God is in the eternal now. He is outside of time, and yet he is fully aware of all that happens within time. It would be kind of like if someone were watching a parade, and they're not in the parade, and because they're outside of the parade, they're able to see the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, the end of the parade, and all points of the parade all at once. Now, in a similar type way, not exactly like that, but in a similar type way, God is not in time, and yet he is aware of all points in time simultaneously. And so we see that God is the creator of the universe, that he is eternal, that is a divine attribute, that the universe, that you and I, that creation itself is finite. It has not always been, but God has always been and always will be. But also we see that God is self-existent and independent from creation. And when we say that God is self-existent, that means that God is not dependent upon anything or anyone for his existence. Now, this is very much different than you and I. Our existence is dependent upon the Creator God who created us. Our existence is dependent upon our parents who procreated us according and through the blessing of God when he gave procreation as a blessing for the human race. But what we see is that God's existence is not dependent. He is the uncaused cause of all that is. He is the unmoved mover of the universe. And we see not only that God is self-existent, but that he is distinct and independent from his creation. In other words, God is transcendent. He transcends the creation which he himself created. He is above it. He is beyond it. He is not a part of that which he has created. What we see within the Bible is that there is a worldview and an understanding of who God is, who the universe is, and who we are. And if you look at all of the different religions of the world, and you look at all the different worldviews that are out there that seek to describe God and ourselves in reality, there are really three basic worldviews that exist. And all the religions and all of the other worldviews kind of can fall into these three different categories. The first worldview is that only the universe exists. This is the worldview of scientific materialism. This is the worldview of atheism, that the physical universe is all that there is no God, that there is no spiritual component to reality, that there is no supernatural. All there is what is natural. All there is the physical universe. The other worldview says that God is all that exists. And so when you look at nature, what you're really looking at is the divine. And so the tree is God, the rocks are God, the earth is God, the sun is God, the moon is God. This is the worldview of pantheism, that everything is kind of an emanation of God and everything is divine. And what happens with this worldview is people begin to worship nature because they think that nature has divine attributes. But the third worldview is not that only the universe exists or that only God exists, but the third worldview is what Genesis 1 describes to us, and that is that God and the universe exist. And what we see is that God is the cause of the universe and that he is distinct or he is separate from the universe. That the universe is not an extension of God. It's not an emanation of God. The universe is not divine. It was created by God and it is not in any sense God. And so God is entirely distinct from his creation. God and creation are different. The sun is not God. The moon is not God. The stars are not God. The earth is not God. Therefore, we do not worship the creation, but instead we worship the Creator who created all that we see and all that we know. And what is important to understand within the Bible is that while God is independent, all the rest of creation, including you and I, are very dependent. We are dependent upon water to drink and air to breathe and food to eat for our life and for our existence. We are dependent on so many other things, but the Bible says that God is entirely self-existent and he is self-sufficient, meaning that God has no needs outside of himself. Not only for his existence, but also for his well-being. And he has no needs that something else or someone else can meet that he does not already have met. Now, when Moses asked God who he is, God's response is, "I am that I am." God is the self-existing one. He is the eternal one. Nothing and no one can be compared to God because he is an entirely unique and distinct and holy from his creation. This is one of the great problems with idolatry, of using an image to represent God and then to worship that image as we worship God, because God is above his creation. He is beyond his creation, and there is nothing within his creation that can be compared to him, because he is above it, he is beyond it, and he is distinct from that which he has created. And God wants to make very clear that we are not to worship what he has made, we are to worship the one who made it. We see also within this passage that God is personal. We will look at that more this next week as we look at the rest of chapter 1, but we see that God is a real person who thinks and acts and wills and understands and makes judgments, and he speaks and he orders his universe according to his will. And so what we see in the Genesis 1 is that God is a living God, and that all life comes from God. There is no life apart from the living God. That God is not some impersonal force out there. We do not spring from nothing, by nothing, for no reason. The impersonal does not make the personal. That God is a personal living being, and because of that, he is the one who has made personal living human beings, that we are able to have relationship with God, and we are to have relationship with one another, and we are to have relationship with creation, because the living personal God has created living personal beings. We also see in this passage that God is all powerful. Now, the Bible tells us that creation declares that there is a creator, and one of the things that creation declares to us is the incredible power of God. We call this the omnipotence of God, that God is all powerful, that he is so powerful that he can create an entire universe out of nothing, without assistance, without help, without resistance. God is able to create and to do whatever he chooses to do. And he's able to create a universe that is infinitely small, so that the human eye cannot see it, and so marvelously large that we cannot see it all, at least not yet. I went one semester to a state college, and I was taking general education classes, and I had a professor who seemed as though his goal for that class was to try to mock and to ridicule Christianity. And so after a little while, he realized that I was a Christian, and so sometimes he would address me as he was teaching the class, because I was kind of his target in some ways, although not me personally, but just Christianity in general. And so one day, he's teaching, and he says to the class, but really to me, he says, "Matt," he says, "how can you believe these things that the Bible talks about. He said, how can you believe that God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land? He said, have you ever seen a huge body of water, the water part and people walk through it on dry land? I said, no. He said, how can you believe that Jesus and Peter walked on water? He said, have you ever seen anyone else walk on water? I said, no. He says, have you ever walked on water? I said, no. He said, how can you believe that Jesus raised from the dead? Have you ever known anyone who has died and 3 days later they rose from the dead? And I said, no. And I said, you know, I really don't have a hard time believing any of those things or even comprehending them. I said, but there's one verse in the Bible that I just have a really hard time comprehending and get my mind completely around. And he goes, what is that? And I says, the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I said, if God created the heavens and the earth and all that there is, that he is the creator, he's not going to have any problem parting a small body of water on the small planet that we call Earth. He's not going to have any problem if he created the water to allow someone to walk upon it. He's not going to have any problem if he is the creator and the giver of life to be able to create life where there is no life in the resurrection of Jesus. You see, if we accept that there is a God and that he is the creator, we will have ultimately no problems believing the rest of the Bible. Because if he is powerful enough to create the universe, then he is powerful enough to do anything. But that also means that if he is powerful enough to create the universe, he is powerful enough and sufficient enough to walk with you in your time of need, to be with you when you don't know how you're going to make it, to be strong when you are weak, to be wise when you're unsure, to be faithful when you do not feel faithful. We also see in this passage and out of this passage that God is beautiful. I think that the beauty of God is one of the most overlooked attributes of God. But what we see within creation is that God, we are able to see his invisible attributes of who God is, that he is the creator, that he is powerful, but also that he is beautiful, because it is the beautiful God of creation who created the beauty that we see within creation. That's why in atheistic cultures and societies that deny God, often their art reflects their ideology. You look at their art and it's cold and it's sterile. At times it's even disturbing to look at. But it is not beautiful because they do not believe in a beautiful God who created a beautiful creation and a beautiful world. They have no basis to understand beauty or to believe in beauty or to even acknowledge how beauty is or where it came from or why it is. But we recognize within the Bible that God as the creator is a beautiful God who created a beautiful creation for his beautiful creatures for them to enjoy. And ultimately, the greatest beauty for us to enjoy is God himself. We see in Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. So the next time that you hear a beautiful song, the next time that you have a beautiful meal, The next time that you see a beautiful sunset and the beautiful waves crashing upon the ocean and the feel of sand beneath your toes and the feel of the wind across your skin, you can there give praise and honor to the beautiful God who created the beauty for you to enjoy within His beautiful creation. We see not only that God is beautiful, but we also see in this passage, in the rest of chapter 1 and the rest of the Bible, that God is sovereign. That God is a king who rules over His creation. Now, this is not a belief that many people within our world, our society, our culture believe in. There are really two ways that people conceptualize the universe. One is they conceptualize the universe as a closed system or a closed universe. And so if you were to draw a circle and everything in that circle is the entire universe, they would say that there's nothing outside of that circle. There's nothing outside of the universe. There is no God. There is no spiritual existence outside of that. And everything that you see, everything you know, is contained or closed within that universe. And nothing is acting upon the universe or within the universe outside of it, because the universe is all that there is. Another view of the universe that the Bible clearly teaches is not that the universe is closed, but that the universe is open. And so if you were to draw a circle and everything in that circle represents all or the entirety of the universe of creation, that outside of that universe, there is a God who created it. And because there is a God who is outside of that creation and who created it, He is over that creation, He rules over the creation, and He is able to act upon His creation and His universe. He is able to do within His creation anything and everything that He chooses to do. And so when we say that God is sovereign, what we mean is that God is the highest authority, that God rules over all that He has made, and that God does not answer to anyone. God is not overwhelmed. He is not overcome with anyone or anything, and there is nothing beyond God. There is nothing higher than God. There is nothing greater than God. There is nothing better than God. God is the sovereign creator God who rules over His creation. But what we see later in Genesis and throughout the Bible is that everything comes under the sovereign rule of God, and the only thing within creation that fights against His sovereign rule is Satan and the angels who join Satan in his rebellion against God, and humanity who joined Satan in his rebellion against God. So what we are going to see is that humanity commits treason against the ruler of the universe, the creator of the universe, the sovereign of the universe, and rebels against the rule and the reign of God. And it is not until God enters into His own creation through the person and the work of Jesus Christ that we see God restoring the rule and the reign of God back to the universe. And ultimately, when He returns, His rule and His reign will be returned. What we see in the Bible is that the Bible declares that not even sin can thwart His ultimate plan, that He is sovereign even over sin. Now we see the sovereignty of God in the person and the life and the work of Christ in many different ways, but do you remember the story of Jesus and His disciples going across the sea, and Jesus is down in the bottom of the boat and He's fast asleep? But there's a storm that comes, and the waves are battering against the boat, and the wind is blowing, and these sailors, these professional fishermen are terrified, and they're afraid, and they're saying, we're going to die in the middle of this storm. And so they go down to Jesus, and they wake him up, and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? And what does Jesus say? He says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, don't you know, after all this time, who I am? He goes to the top of the boat, and he says to the wind, be still. And he says to the waves, be still and be calm. And suddenly, there's a calm upon the sea, and there's a calm among the wind. And the disciples are astonished, and they're amazed, and they say, who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? What they were beginning to understand and know is that they were in the presence of the Creator God of the universe, who had incarnated himself into humanity and had come to save the universe that had rebelled against him. And so what we see is not only that God is the Creator, that he is personal, that he is beautiful, that he is sovereign, but ultimately what we see is that God is to be worshiped. You see, if people don't know who God is and they don't know that God made everything, then what they begin to do is they begin to worship what he made instead of the one who made it. And Romans chapter 1 says we either worship the Creator or we worship creation. If you do not know that God created the sun, then you may worship the sun. If you do not know that God created the moon, then you may worship the moon. If you do not know that God created the stars, then yes, people through astrology do worship the stars, and they look to them for guidance and direction and understanding rather than the maker of the stars. And we may not worship the sun or the moon in our day and time, but we worship other things which the Lord God has made. We worship the creation. We worship sex with God, which God made. We worship ourselves, which God made, rather than worshiping the Creator of creation. And so the temptation really is to worship what he has made rather than God himself. And what God is revealing to us here in Genesis and throughout the Bible is he's revealing to us that he has made everything so that men and women will know that we are to worship him and that we are not to worship that which he has made. We also see that everything that God has made is a gift to us from God. And the natural response to recognize the reality of who God is that we are to be thankful to him for the gifts that he has given us in creation and that we are to worship him for the creation which he has made for us to enjoy and whereby he has blessed us. And the question becomes, who is this Creator God? Listen to what the New Testament tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, for by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is above all things, and in him all things consist. we see that God the Father created through the Son and by the Spirit so that all of the triune nature of God was operative as creating all that we see before us. But what we see within the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 and throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament and throughout history and even within our own lives is that this creation has rebelled against its creator, has committed treason against its ruler and the reign and the kingship of God. And so what God does as the creator is he enters into his rebellious creation in order to redeem it from its fallen state. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, God brings about a new creation. That we are born again. That we are created anew in Christ Jesus. Behold, all old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, in which we will exist with our Creator face to face for all of eternity. And this Creator God has a face and he has a name. And his name, the Bible says, is Jesus. And we should worship him both today and forever. The entire Christian faith is that the Creator offers you himself as salvation. He is not only the Creator, but he also is the Savior and the Redeemer of our souls, of our life, and ultimately of the rest of creation itself. Jesus is the Creator. Worship him.